This is Ashley Wagner.
I'm Madison Chalk.
And I'm Evan Bates.
Hey, guys, what's up? This is John Coughlin.
Hi, this is Megan Duhamel.
And I'm Eric Radford.
Hi, I'm Gabrielle Damon.
Hi, this is Kira Carpet.
Hi, I'm Kana Muramoto.
And I'm Chris Reed.
Hi, I'm Patrick Chan.
Hi, it's Julianne Seguin.
And Charlie Bilodeau.
Hi, I'm Maya Shibutani.
And I'm Alex Shibutani.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Osmond.
Hey guys, this is Nathan Chen, U.S. champion.
Hey guys, this is Mariah Bell, and you're listening to Ice Talk.
And just like that, we've reached the fourth and final episode of our four-part preview of the 2017 World Figure Skating Championships. So that only means one thing. It's time for competition to start. But before we get there, we have yet another super-duper episode for you. I'm Jackie Wong of RockerSkating.com with episode 26. And today, we have Lynn Rutherford right here with me in the Ice Network studios to talk about the ladies and ice dance. And finally, and I am very caffeinated for this one for sure, Jason Brown will be joining me to chat about his roller coaster season as he gets ready for his return to the World Championships. I'm very excited to have Ice Network contributor Lynn Rutherford back on Ice Talk. She's helped us break down a few competitions this season. We've got her here to talk about ladies and dance today. How's it going?
It's going great. I break it down and... Not break dancing, but I break it down.
Well, let's break down right to it then. The women's event at Worlds is shaping up yet again to be amazing, right? Last year when we were in Boston, we saw such a thrilling set of programs. So what do you think? Are we going to top that this year?
No, I don't think so. But what I do think is that the same lady, Medvedeva, Evgeny Medvedeva, will probably be on top when the tale is told.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. But I do want to start off with the return of Carolina Kostner.
Okay.
It's her 13th Worlds, and her very first one was actually in 2003 when our defending champion was 3 years old. So I wanted to hear your thoughts about her longevity and her comeback this year.
Well, actually, I was there in 2003 and interviewed Carolina when she was sort of the fresh new face. And, you know, she was very shy. She spoke, you know, four or five different languages. And she just really promised to be what she became,
yeah,
which was a very sort of thinking person's figure skater. She always made the intellectual choice with her programs.
Yep.
She certainly is Lori Nichols' darling. She's Lori Nichols' masterpiece, and it became that way, you know, through the years. And I thought that her career was going to culminate, you know, in Sochi with that spectacular set of programs.
Right.
But here she is.
I mean,
doing a really great job at Europeans, and she's back again.
Frankly, I thought her career would have ended even before that. I didn't expect her to be staying as long as she has. And now that she's, what, 30 years old, it's really remarkable. You know, we talk about Ashley Wagner a whole lot, about how her longevity has been. Her first Worlds was in 2008. Carolina's first Worlds was in 2003. And so, you know, you've got two skaters here who have been through a lot and have been through basically everything you could go through as a figure skater.
Absolutely. And they're completely different in my mind.
Yeah.
Because Carolina was always the sensitive type. And years ago, you know, she was very close with Stefan Lambiel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget at Europeans in Budapest, she got so emotional after she skated that she just collapsed in Lambiel's arms and just sobbed. And she's really been able to carry that emotion with her throughout her long career. And it's been amazing that somebody so sensitive could actually be really so tough and come back, you know, after a suspension that I don't think she thought she deserved, and prove herself yet again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see her in Helsinki.
Yeah, I go back to 2006 when she had that Olympics where after winning bronze at Worlds, they you know, the Italians really expected her to do something great, and she didn't. And
she put it mildly, she didn't.
Yeah, I mean, she bounced back from that and like really got herself into gear. And I really thought that injury back in 2011, where it basically left her with just the basics and left her with not being able to really do a lutz and like and kind of building back up that confidence in her jumps. She all of a sudden got so much more consistent. And when she did get the lutz back, and that was the Olympic season, that was it. Like, that got her back on the podium.
Well, we're going to see what happens, because I'm not going to praise her to death, because she hasn't done a lutz this season that I'm aware of.
And I don't think she's going to.
And she is doing a triple toe as her toughest combination.
Yep.
She did add back the triple flip. She did skate well at Europeans.
Yep.
But I think in this environment, you've got to have more technical content.
Yep.
As superb as you are.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that her technical content will lift her to the podium in Helsinki.
I totally agree. I think given the field, given the base values of the other women, even if Carolina were perfectly clean, I think she would be in the low to mid 140s, not quite where she might be if she had that lutz or if she had that flip toe. So yeah, we'll see. That she's definitely for me a dark horse and very much an X factor, even though she got that bronze at Europeans, just because you don't know what's going to come out of her this time around.
You don't know what's going to come around this time, and frankly, you don't know what kind of PCS she's going to get. Even with her reputation, the judges at Europeans gave Medvedeva higher PCS.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think that given a clean Medvedeva and a clean Costner, I can see Costner, especially if they're in the same group and they're skating relatively near each other, I could see Costner getting the higher component marks.
I don't know.
And frankly, deservedly so.
Well, the people that deserve them and the people that get them.
Right.
Are not always the same thing.
Yeah.
I would say that if Medvedeva skates clean, Koster skates clean, I'm going to go with Medvedeva getting a point or two higher on her PCS.
Yeah. And we'll move on from
sure.
Carolina in a little bit, but I do think one more thing I wanted to add was that the composition of her free skate is actually not quite as strong as the ones that she's had in the past. Probably because she's just coming back, probably because her stamina is not quite there yet. But there's one whole part in the middle slash end of her free skate where she's skating at basically half the rink. And it's not full ice coverage. It's not the Carolina we've seen in the past. So, we'll see if that's been improved on with a couple of months extra training.
Absolutely.
So back to the many other competitors at Worlds. We talked a little bit about Ashley a little bit earlier. Speaking of longevity, right? Maosada is definitely one of those skaters, though unfortunately her season hasn't been what she had hoped it was going to be. So Ashley is the one with the second most experience here. We had her on the last episode, and she was talking about how her first Worlds in 2008 was a complete blur. Where do you see her fitting in after the season that she's had?
Well, it's kind of interesting because Ashley purposely took some time between Nationals and Helsinki
mm-hmm.
to really make appreciable changes in her programs.
Right.
And I had a chance to talk to Shaylin Bourne the other day, and they really did do quite a bit of work on the free skate to the Muse
mm-hmm.
piece, focusing on the second half of the free skate. And as Ashley herself said on her conference call, and Shaylin confirmed, they added more transitions, more detail,
yeah.
and really kind of clarified the story,
yeah.
which is that, hey, I was in this relationship, whatever it may be, and, it's not turning out the way I thought, and maybe I'm better off on my own. That's basically the story of the second half of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we will see improvements, if that's the right word, in the choreography.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw that transition quite a bit last year when, she had that Moulin Rouge program for a whole season. And there was some talk about there's some parts that are empty. And then all of a sudden she came and added 50,000 transitions to it, and it became a whole different program, and it just transformed it. So, I think we'll see two very different programs from Ashley at Worlds, even though they're going to be the same music that she's been skating to all season.
And it's kind of interesting because where is this criticism coming from? Because I did ask Ashley, you know, hey, where are you getting this feedback that you need more transitions, or there's too much 2-foot skating, particularly in the short program? And she kind of said, well, you know, it hasn't really been official, but I'm really hyper aware of what people are saying. And I wonder if, you know, the people on the internet have a little more power than they think they have.
Well, there's just also the fact that her component marks have not necessarily been as high as maybe you would expect from her after getting that silver at Worlds. So that could have been her reading the tea leaves and being like, hey, you know, And you know, she's very self-aware. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she's called herself the queen of no transitions at one point. So, you know, she knows that there are things that can get her up there. And between the composition of the program and spins and whatnot, I think it's going to be a different look than we've seen this season.
Well, it'll be interesting because back at Skate America, Aratunian, her coach, was very strong that, you know, the short program was great. It was very entertaining, and they weren't going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I think that they did read the tea leaves, as you say.
Yeah. Well, looking at the other American women, we have Karen Chen, we have Mariah Bell. What were your thoughts after their showings at Four Continents?
Well, I probably can't express my thoughts on a family podcast, but let's be honest, it wasn't Karen Chen's best competition.
It wasn't, no.
And I think that, yes, the boot issue reared its soul, so to speak. And
we love puns here.
Yeah,
on
we do. And I think that she let it get into her head a bit.
Yeah.
And I think she was nervous. I think, you know, it was a big stage, the Olympic venue. And frankly, you know, she let it show in her programs.
Yeah. And you know, there's been a lot of talk about like, oh, my God, how do you not have the right boots? Like, can't you just get custom boots? Like, it's not easy, especially if your feet aren't fitting the boots the first time. Like, you yourself as a skater, it's tough to just diagnose the problem, and you're doing things like you're supposed to be doing, and you're like, what's happening? And all of a sudden, you know, some expert comes in and they're like, well, you know, it looks like your heel is slipping off the back of your boot. Like, that shouldn't be happening. And so I do think it's not an excuse. It's something that is very much something that figure skaters deal with all the time, getting the right boot to fit. And it's harder for some people than for others because of just the way that their feet are structured.
I think that that is true. I think that it is legitimately harder for, let's say, Karen than for others. She's talked about how she has flat feet and that the boots that she was using at Four Continents had worn out and her new boots hadn't come. You know, that said, I know that she had a chat with Christy Yamaguchi, who's kind of been a mentor to her since they're both from Fremont. And, you know, Christy, I think, gave her a little tough love and said, look, things are not going to be perfect. You know, you're always going to have something. You may be hungry. Maybe your costume's uncomfortable. Maybe
it's a little too cold. Yeah, whatever.
A little too cold. You're sore. And you got to deal with it.
Yep.
And I think that probably that was valuable. You know, her coach, Tammy Gamble, has assured me that she's all set with the boots. The problem has been resolved.
Yep.
And as Tammy says, when her feet are happy, you know, there's no stopping her.
Oh, that's...
So I'm looking for her to rebound considerably
from
Four Continents and get closer to, you know, what I thought was a pretty magical...
It was spectacular.
Performance at Nationals, particularly the short program.
Right, right. And I think that's good news for a lot of American skating fans out there for sure, you know, especially with all the talk about the three spots for the Olympics and keeping those. And, you know, I think Mariah, you know, we had Ashley on, and she was saying, like, Mariah Bell is doing everything that she can do, and she's, you know, hitting her jumps in practice. It's really just about her skating within herself and skating the way that she can skate. A lot easier said than done. If they do what they can do, if those three women do what they can do, I don't see any reason why the three spots aren't going to be theirs.
Well, I would agree. Certainly, if they do what they can do. I know Mariah has admitted that, you know, she was a little awed by the occasion at Four Continents. That was her first ISU championships. So it's great that she had the opportunity to go there before Helsinki.
Yep.
And I know that, you know, she had Roheen Ward yet again at her training camp and polishing up the programs, mm-hmm. Making the steps more comfortable. So, she could really, you know, rebound in a big way and build on those performances she had at Four Continents. So I definitely think that it's possible for the U.S. to maintain the three spots, but it's by no means
not at all
a gimme.
It's a crazy deep field as we always have, and all three of our medalists from last year are back again, and you've got to think, like you were saying, that Medvedeva is going to be the heavy favorite here again.
I would say so, and you know, I've searched for ways that she isn't, and there's just no denying that she's consistent, and I think she's won, what, 9 out of 10 of her senior internationals that she's ever had?
Yeah.
So I don't see her slowing down now.
We've seen her almost be a little bit bored because she's so consistent. Like, you know, she's just so used to landing everything that when she steps out of a jump, she's like flabbergasted. Like, what's happening, right? And there's even been mention of her maybe training a Quad Sao during the off season, or if that might have started already, but do you think this is a consistency that's going to last on through the Olympic season?
I'm afraid it will, because I sense that she is the kind of skater that doesn't let much bother her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she's very consistent, whether, you know, it's a boot problem. I mean, early this season, her boots broke down. She had to go out and skate at Skate Canada in brand new boots, and she did it. She wins when she's got a cold. She wins when she's running a fever.
Yeah.
She's just a tough competitor.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got all the tricks that the IJS is going to honor, you know, backloading the program, putting her hand over her head, you know, whatever it may be. You know, I just don't see her slowing down. Somebody's going to have to overtake her.
Yeah, agreed. And of course, her Russian teammates are also super strong.
Yeah.
We have Anna Pogorelia, who won the bronze last year. And for me, really has shown a different side of her skating this year. And I'm a big fan of her development as a skater. Frankly, I feel like she's even a little bit underscored in components relative to her competitors. What are your thoughts on her?
Well, you and I are in complete agreement on Pogorelia. I think that her performance quality has been amped up.
Yeah.
Ever since Worlds last season.
It's like there was a switch that was flipped. It was amazing.
Yeah. Maturity.
Yeah.
You know, she's certainly very sensuous on the ice. She certainly reaches down there and expresses herself. Yet she's pretty consistent. I mean, she had a few bobbles her last couple of competitions. She wasn't perfect.
Yep.
But for the most part, you know, she put all her big elements out there.
Yeah.
So I think she'll be right behind Medvedeva.
Yeah. What do you think about the Canadians?
You know, I got to tell you, Caitlin Osmond's a mystery to me.
Yeah,
in
she's a mystery to so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's any reason why she shouldn't be right up there competing for gold or silver. Yet, and again, this is just my interpretation listening to her. She doesn't seem to believe in herself enough.
Yeah.
Maybe. She at Four Continents, you know, she went out there for her free skate. She nailed her first two elements, which arguably were the most difficult.
That was toughest stuff.
You know, they were the, you know, two difficult combinations.
Yeah.
And then it all you know, went downhill.
I mean, we've seen this from her where her confidence goes, it's a bit cyclical, and it follows a competition where she doesn't really do that well. She falls a couple of times, and then the next one, she doubts herself. But then when she has a great skate, you see her having great skates. So I don't really know what she's going to give us in Helsinki. I would actually even say that if she were to skate two clean programs, she might be the one who could challenge for the gold medal the most.
Oh, I would agree entirely. But I just don't know that she's going to skate two clean programs. Right. I mean, we've seen that she certainly is capable of doing real well in the short. But to put two clean programs together is going to be the challenge. Yeah. And, you know, she always says, well, I'm going to fake it till I make it. But she's going to have to fake it.
Yeah, she has it.
She's got it all. Yeah. She's got everything.
Yeah.
So she's a bit of a mystery to me. I know she's working with a sports psychologist. She talked about that. You know, she has an opportunity to make a move.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. Somebody else who has an opportunity to make a move is Gabby Dalman as well. I think she comes in with a very different mindset than Caitlin does. I think she's very much like I'm confident, I'm going to do this. She showed that a good bit at Four Continents, and she's shown that all season long. And there's just a couple of inconsistencies here and there that's kept her from really having that super breakthrough. And so I think she's another one to watch if she can keep it together.
You know, she's one to watch. I don't know that she's quite in Osmond's league in terms of the sophistication of her programs. She certainly is a powerful skater. Certainly she's impressive. I'm not sure that she's quite ready, you know, to take that leap into the top five, let's say. But, we'll see.
I do think, going back to kind of the maturity levels, I do think Caitlin has a sense of maturity out there that Gabby doesn't have, but Gabby has a sense of artistic range that I think Caitlin doesn't have. So it'd be great to combine the two and have that range and the maturity. But they both bring out very different sides of skating, and I love watching both of them.
Yeah, I love their power. I mean, you don't have to take a protractor out onto the ice to, you know, see if they've rotated their jumps. So, you know, again, we'll see. But Caitlin, she's an opportunity here.
Yeah, I think the Japanese women, for the first time in a while, is coming in with a bit of a question mark.
Well, right? No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, Asada's out because of that bad season. Satoko Miyahara is out because of an injury. And she would have been the best hope for a medal, for sure. How do you think the three they're sending are going to fare?
Well, Mai Mahara has been very consistent.
Yep.
I mean, she might make one mistake, I think, in her free skate, but she's had a very consistent season. She hasn't quite gotten the PCS at all that the top ladies do. I think it's perhaps 6 or 7 points below. Yeah.
Her components are a notch or two below the very best in the world, for sure. But the jumps are what saves her.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that could save a lot of things when you're skating near clean.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the Japanese are in a little bit of trouble because I don't think Higuchi and Hongo have had the kind of consistent performances, particularly Hongo, that you're going to need to keep three spots.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because Rika Hongo has been fairly inconsistent all season,
but
Wakaba Higuchi has actually had a really, really strong season, but then Four Continents, she was completely out of sorts. I haven't heard anything about an injury there. There might be something there, but I don't know what
the only thing I could think of is that, you know, she's quite young.
Yeah.
And
growth.
Maybe, you know, the occasion overwhelmed her, but she didn't look terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, to hang your hopes on her,
yeah,
it's a little risky.
I just think that's going to be really just super unpredictable, the ladies' event, maybe with the exception of Medvedeva as the favorite. So will be fun to watch. But, you know, I noted last year that last year was probably the best Worlds I've ever witnessed. But I do think that, and not just in the ladies event, but also in all of the four disciplines, that there is a strong possibility that we'll top that in Helsinki. And I'll switch over to ice dance. We got over 30 teams in the field this year. 9 teams at least who are medal worthy. 7 of those teams actually have world medals already. I mean, what a crazy competition this is going to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think ice dance is actually what you said about the ladies. I'm not sure the ladies is going to come to that fruition point for you, but I think that ice dance is extraordinary this season.
Yeah. I mean, needless to say, I don't think we've ever had an ice dance field that's quite as unpredictable as this one. And I do think that says a lot about both ice dance's trajectory as a sport and about the incredible depth of the teams we have today. And so we can't talk about ice dance this season without talking about the return of Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer. I see them as a favorite coming in. Your thoughts?
They're not only a favorite, I think they're really an overwhelming favorite to win. We had a call with them just this morning, and I don't think I've ever heard Scott Moyer as relaxed, as happy, you know, as sunny as he was this morning. You know, sometimes he can be a little bit edgy, little bit sarcastic. Yep. And there was just none of that. He was just pure hearts and flowers. And they said that they had never been as prepared and ready for a world championships as they are this week.
Those are fighting words.
And those are fighting words. And I give it a bit of credence because, you know, they are, once again, in the same rink as their top competition, the French. And I think that Scott was just, you know, very complimentary to the French and, you know, called them sweet kids. And, you know, it's great to see how hard they work. But he didn't sound intimidated.
Yeah. Well, do you think, speaking of the French team, do you think Papadakis and Cizeron have been second-guessing themselves this season because of the return?
No. I just think that the trajectory of their season is to peak.
At Worlds.
At Worlds. Yeah. And I think that they have been a bit error-prone, especially in their short dance.
Yeah.
And I think if they do make an error or two at Worlds, that, you know, it could cost them a color of a medal. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what those two teams will do. I think on paper and by their resumes, those are the two teams that you would expect to be vying for the top spots, simply on paper. But I do think that ice dance doesn't have quite the gap that it used to between the top one or top two teams and the rest of the field, just because so many of the teams have improved so much in the last couple of years. Who do you see as being the potential spoilers, if you will?
Well, I see the Shibitanis as being on the podium and perhaps in the second spot. If you look at the scores at Four Continents, they were between, I believe, 2 and 3 points behind Tessa and Scott in each program. Yep. Was not a huge gap. It wasn't the kind of gap that the Canadians and Merrill and Charlie would open up over the field.
Right, exactly.
In bygone days.
Yeah. They were 5 points from Tessa and Scott in the total score. And I don't think I don't have the full stats on me, but I don't think I've ever seen them that close to Tessa and Scott before. So yeah, they're definitely closing the gap.
They're definitely closing the gap. And, you know, it's interesting. The whole season has been quite interesting with ice dance because all of these top teams are really straining to get level 4 footworks.
Mm-hmm. Especially that midline step sequence in the short.
Absolutely. But not only the midline, also the partial.
Yeah, yeah.
Also the diagonal, let's say, in the free dance.
Right.
You know, again, I talked to Igor Spielbaum the other day, and he said, you know, look, the technical panels are being really picky. Mm-hmm. They're being hyper-vigilant. You cannot make a mistake on a turn. You cannot have a hint of a toe pick. It has to be pure and clean. And I know that that's what's pushing, let's say, Chalk and Bates, because they have redone their partial step in their short dance. They had Rohin Warren out yet again. He's been busy.
Yeah,
he has. You know, Igor, of course, and they've redone that step sequence. They've also done pieces of their non-touching midline over, and they've also adjusted, you know, their diagonal steps, because where they've sort of lost it sometimes
is levels
has been in getting an extra level three
right
on their footworks.
I think Chalk and Bates are a team that we really have to watch for, because I they're skating with this kind of sense of freedom and just like owning it so much more this season, and you can hear it when they're talking about what their programs mean to them this year, that they feel like they're actually skating as themselves, as opposed to like, oh, we're gonna do some warhorse piece that you know figure skating fans would expect you to do. So I think they're a team to really look for.
I would say they're the dark horse.
Yeah.
If you want a dark horse, if you can call the reigning world bronze medalists dark horses.
Yeah.
But you know, I do think that they're a team. You know, I had a chance to talk to Charlie White when he was in New York recently, and he said of all the top teams in the world, they're the team that pushes it the most. They're the team that are most on the edge.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to see if they can nail it,
right?
Because sometimes, you know, that makes you put a foot wrong.
Yep. And of course, of all the top teams, Chalk and Bates have made big shakeups in their programs. Weaver and Poge has made the biggest changes this year with, you know, training with Nikolai Morozov for the season and completely revamping their look. Do you think their changes are paying dividends, and will they pay dividends at Worlds?
I think that if their changes pay dividends, it might happen next season rather than in Helsinki. I think that this just was not particularly their season to go out and grab a medal at Worlds.
And I think they know that too in some ways. Like, they know that change takes time and they still have to get used to the new look that they're going to have and the new training environment that they're going to have. But you know, I think it's another couple of months since Canadians and since Four Continents. So, you know, wouldn't be surprised if something even more major kind of happens and another revelation kind of happens with them. I can't not mention Bobrova Soloviev.
Oh, yeah. Bobrova Soloviev, I do think they're bringing their best to Helsinki.
They're looking great. They look great.
And, you know, they would have been second, I believe, at Europeans. They did miss a level on a circular footwork, I believe. I think they got a level two. I gotta think that hopefully that's corrected.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say that they would be one of the dark horses.
Oh man. So levels. That's
right.
What we're gonna be looking for in the ice dance event. Well, it's been
They don't do quads, Becky. So all they got to fall back on, you know, is their strength, their beauty, and their levels.
What an amazing event Worlds is going to be. And I want to thank Lynn for being here in the studio with me today. It's really less lonely when there's another person here. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Jason Brown. Make sure to tune in to watch me and the rest of Team USA compete at the World Championship on Ice Network.
So we are closing our four-part Worlds preview series with a bang. He is one of the most beloved personalities in figure skating. Jason Brown is the 2015 U.S. champion and was fourth in his debut at Worlds 2 years ago. And he's on the phone with me right now for the podcast. Hey, Jason, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm so excited to be talking with you, Jackie.
Well, so I'm going to start with a quick one-word reply from you.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm going to prepare. I'm preparing right now.
If you had one word to describe your season so far, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh. I would describe it, honestly, as a roller coaster. I think a roller coaster would be the best way to describe it. I've had some of the highest highs, and dealing with injuries for my second year in a row is definitely a low. Being in a boot for 6 weeks to get getting my personal best to landing a quad in competition. Honestly,
yeah,
a roller coaster, I think, would be the best.
And I didn't even word. I didn't even cue you up for this, because in my like lead up to your interview, I actually said roller coaster.
Nuh-uh.
So true.
And I don't mean it in any negative way.
Of course.
I just mean, like, roller coasters are awesome and amazing,
yeah,
but it's been a roller coaster nonetheless.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to go with something a lot more predictable, like unexpected.
I think that's that to describe it too.
Yeah.
The injury was unexpected for me, but honestly, yeah, that works too.
To it. What have your past 6 months been like?
Yeah. You know, it's been crazy. Looking back, it's, you know, I starting off the season with my first two senior Bs and the first Grand Prix were awesome. It was a really, you know, I came out of the summer having landing quad toe and quad sow, eager to put them in the program, excited to start off that season, you know, especially last season also being injured. And at the end of it, you know, I wanted to come back so much stronger. I wanted to prove, you know, although I had this setback, I was ready to be a contender again, show how far I've come since that injury. And so I really, honestly, I felt awesome at the first half of the season. I was really, really proud of how hard I've worked to kind of get myself to where I was. And I felt great up through November, and I was doing really well, and I was really, really excited. I went to Japan for NHK, and I knew something was wrong. You know, I was talking to my coach, and I was like, I'm not getting the power that I'm used to getting. I wasn't in severe pain. It couldn't, you know, kind of pinpoint what was going on, but, like, I felt like I was pushing, and I wasn't going anywhere. And when I was jumping, I was like, there's something lacking in the power that I'm getting. And after Japan, it was, you know, definitely a disappointment, because leading up to it, I was training really well, and I was really excited going into Japan. And I knew that I was capable to make the final, and it was a goal of mine, and I knew, you know, I knew I could do it. So, you know, after that, it was definitely rough. You know, I pride myself on being a consistent competitor.
Yeah.
So having such a kind of fluky skate, you know, especially for me, and doing it in both the short and the long was tough. And once we got back, we were trying to brainstorming. What was it? What went wrong? You know, so we started working on, you know, we talked to the strength coach off the ice, and we're like, there's something going on with my power. There's something, like, I was feeling it for a while and something's going on. I was planning to get new skates, which I did. So I got new skates afterwards, and I started working on the jump mat, kind of trying to figure out what kind of warm-ups I could do that would fire my kind of that quick twitch power spring muscles. And every single time we went in, every day it went down in vertical height.
Yeah.
Every day I started feeling weaker. Every day it went down. And that's when it kind of, you know, the weakness turned into pain. And I was like, what is happening? And it really wasn't until I got my new skate and I started, you know, because you go through that period where you get new skates and you're kind of just breaking them in. You're not jumping on the ice, really.
Right.
And it wasn't until I started jumping in the new skates that shooting pain was in my right leg. And my power was still going down, and we couldn't figure it out. And I even worked with the nutritionist trying to figure out what this was. And when I went in to get the leg MRI'd, it showed up that it was a stress fracture, and then I got another test to show that it was about 3 weeks old.
Yeah. I remember watching you at NHK, and I was just like, there's no way this is just, like, nerves, or there's no way that this is just some sort of fluke performance, because that's not what we've ever really seen from you. So, I mean, it seemed like you found it right at the right time, because if you had been a couple weeks later, you probably would have kept training on it, and nationals would have been a very, very different competition for you, right?
100%. You know, it was definitely, getting over the competition was so tough. You know, I didn't have any kind of relief until I figured out what was going on wrong, because it was so unlike me. And it was something, you know, and I'm not ever one to kind of blame my performances for anything. You know, I don't say, like, oh, I was hurt, unless I knew it.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, and that was the biggest thing. I couldn't kind of come to terms with what was happening, because I do pride myself on that consistency. And I, you know, obviously you mess up sometimes in competition, but I'm always able to recover. And it was just one of those things where it was definitely difficult to kind of figure out and kind of come to terms with. But once, you know, we definitely did, I was so fortunate to find out with enough time to prepare for nationals.
Yeah. We'll talk about nationals in just a little bit, but I do want to bring you back to Skate America. And we saw you skate such a fantastic couple of programs there. And I don't care that it was called under-rotated. I'm calling that your first quad land in a competition. It was like even on slow-mo, I saw at most a quarter turn, right? And I didn't think it was under-rotated. Anyway, point is, bring us back to what that program was like for you. Were you just like, you know, man, this season's going to be really fun after that program?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was, you know, I had worked so hard and I was doing quads in practice, doing them in the programs. And up until that point, that was kind of my third competition of the season where I was doing quads in both short and long. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I did it. You know, I fell in it in the short. It was called clean. I want to land this so badly. I was like, because, you know, the season before, I was putting it out there, but it wasn't something I was landing as consistently as I was kind of this year.
Yeah.
So it was a jump in the program that I knew I could land. Every time I did it, I knew I could hit it. So it was that much more frustrating when I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before the goal was, let's just get a single carrot. Let's try to get it clean, you know, in competition. And this was, land it. Land it clean. You can do it. And so I think doing that at Skate America in that long, I was so excited. I just, you know, and it was one of the things, you just went out and I did what I had trained to do. And after that moment, I just kind of took a breath and I was like, Jason, don't screw this up for yourself. I was like, you hear so many stories where people get overexcited and then, you know, mess up. And I was like, I've worked so hard. I've had so many conversations with the media, with my coaches, with everyone about this jump and about the quad in general. I was like, don't let the story be, well, he did it, but.
Wait, no, the media asks you about the quad? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, never. It's just something that rarely comes up. But. So I just remember thinking to myself, Jason, don't blow this for yourself. I was like, don't make it be kind of like underplaying the quad, underplaying how hard you've worked. Don't make it be, well, he did it, but everything else fell apart.
Yeah.
I was like, you are going to fight for every single landing. You're going to say so in the moment. You're not going to think about anything else. And I really kind of just went along the program as like a soldier is the way I kind of put it. Obviously it was performing, but that mentality of like, get it done.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, kind of ruin that moment for myself and, you know, for how hard I've worked and for USA at the Grand Prix. So I was very proud and very, very relieved when I finished the program.
And of course that was quite a memorable skate from you. And it's interesting you mention that you were really like your mindset was very much like a forceful kind of soldier like mentality. And John Coughlin, we had him on a couple episodes ago. He said it best when he said that he's never seen you really grit it out the way that you did at the U.S. Championships. It's very much like this season has been about grit for you, whether it's I'm going to land the quad and I'm going to make sure I hit the rest of my program, or it's you get injured and you're going to fight through it and figure out a way to make it onto that podium at nationals. So, and you're doing it
for sure.
Yeah. You're doing it with such a positive attitude throughout as you always do. So how much have you learned about yourself through this whole injury and comeback?
Oh my gosh. So much. I think it's, you know, you never want injuries and you never want such like setbacks, but it is really true that you do learn so much more about yourself and kind of digging deep and finding, you know, that inner determination and that kind of inner athlete to kind of push through and to persevere and to grit it out. I think you kind of have to go through those experiences to learn kind of how strong you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing to kind of see your hard work pay off and kind of ride that wave. But at the same time, there's a different sense of pride in yourself and confidence when you, you know, you fall off that wave 12 times before you can ride it.
Yeah.
So I think kind of having that journey and going through all of it, you know, I kind of laugh. I feel like I've lived a career from Sochi to now.
Yeah.
Like an entire another career of skating. Like I've had two careers, you know, and I just, because I think each step and each kind of moment along the way, I kind of have learned more than I ever thought kind of possible, or I've kind of pulled something out of myself that I didn't think I was capable of. And I think that's what kind of keeps me positive. It's knowing that, you know, I know I'm going to have these setbacks, but hopefully I can inspire people from it, or I can show myself that I can push through and kind of be a source of motivation for other people and for the skating community. You know, setbacks are something that we have to deal with, but it's kind of how you deal with it. And I kind of have made that kind of part of my journey and my story.
You and I talked in Kansas City about where you were with your injury, and you were saying that you were literally making improvements every day, and every day was a little bit of a different story for you. And we saw that.
Yeah.
We saw that.
Yeah.
You could barely stand up a triple axel on the first couple of days of practices.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yes.
And then, and then all of a sudden on the day of the free skate, you had it back, and you were landing them in warm-ups. You were landing them in your program. So had you ever experienced anything quite like that?
No, I've had days. I've had like the morning of a competition where you're struggling with the jump, but you've landed it, you know, all the way through, you know, the other days, and just for some reason it's a fluky morning.
Yeah.
I've had experience like that, and you kind of have to turn it over, and when you get on for the 6-minute warm-up, you're able to kind of switch it. But yeah, it was a very, very tough event to push through and kind of continue to keep my confidence up. When, like you said, on the practices, I wasn't doing much.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying so hard. I was trying to get it through my program. You know, by the time I competed, it was really my third long and fourth short that I, you know, full short that I've done. And the ones before that were at the competition. My coach kept talking about how I have so much money in the bank. That kind of analogy of, you know, you've been through it so many times, you know how you don't feel perfect and you can still kind of still get the job done. And I think, you know, that was something I kept trying to pull from, but you know, it was definitely hard each practice being like, okay, like this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to make it through the program and trying to push it through. I did feel this forward movement in my progression. So I did have the confidence that, you know what, I could go to bed knowing that tomorrow will be somewhat better than the day before. I wasn't in a kind of, my progression wasn't going, you know, the opposite way. It wasn't every day I was skating, I was in more and more pain. You know, every day I was skating, I was figuring something out, whether it was I was landing a double axel that felt comfortable, or I was landing, you know, I was flipping out of a triple axel, or it was rotating a triple axel.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those were such huge steps in my growth that I think kind of looking on any positive aspect I could and kind of trying to feed off of that and kind of embracing that. I think that's really what got me through the week.
Yeah, I mean, it takes glass half full kind of attitude for you to get to where you ended up getting, which was on the podium with the bronze. And I know you credit so much of your path back at Nationals with your team and trusting the plan that the team had for you. And so I'd love to hear you talk about what that was like, and then subsequently after Nationals, as you were preparing for Fort Constance, what that was like.
Yeah, so leading kind of like, I was diagnosed with the stress fracture about 4 weeks before the U.S. Championship, and it was kind of a 4 to 6 week, basically it was a 4 to 6 week recovery of, they really didn't want me to do up, kind of be on the ice, to let it fully heal. And, you know, I went through this experience, and me and Corey went through this with my back. You know, it was obviously is a different injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I physically wasn't able to compete at Nationals. You know, it wasn't something that I, you know, could go out and do something respectable.
Yeah.
It was, I physically couldn't compete, so I had to withdraw. But, you know, I couldn't wrap my head around withdrawing from the U.S. Championships the second year in a row. And neither could my coach. And we were kind of just so confident in the fact that we could make something work in the next 4 weeks. And we kind of, the rehab was really kind of strict. I was in a, like I said, I was in a boot for 6 weeks,
yeah,
even though, you know, I was in a boot, I was still in a boot for Nationals.
Right.
So we knew that. I was on crutches for a week, trying to do anything I could to relieve it. I had this bone stimulator that, you know, is supposed to help with bone growth. You know, we were really doing everything I could to get me through it. And so I basically ended up taking about 3 weeks off But in that time, I was working extremely hard off ice with my strength coach, doing the craziest bike workouts to get my endurance up, doing these swimming workouts just to keep that endurance up, that kind of also would mimic my program, which was really cool. So they were, you know, sometimes it would be these 4-minute intervals or these 2.5, 3-minute intervals. And, you know, within a long endurance workout, or, you know, trying to get my heart rate up to certain points and drop it and play around with that as well.
Yeah.
So I think it was, you know, and kind of what was so great was that my team never gave up on me. They never doubted it. They really believed and stayed positive the whole time. The strength coach, the physical therapist, Corey, Roheen, you know, they were always behind me 100%, and they never doubted that I could do it. Obviously, I had moments where I doubted myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we also went to, in that time, me and Corey visited Raj, who's the manufacturer of Jackson, and we got new skates to fit the foot, you know, a special way that would break down a little quicker. Because, like I said, I got new skates after NHK, but I never really trained on them. So, you know, I knew going into Nationals I'd be on a week-old pair of skates. So we kind of went up to Toronto during my time off, and I got fitted for a kind of and he made a pair of boots for me that would be a little, I don't want to say flimsy, but a little easier to break in.
Right.
You know, so I think we were really trying, and there was never a moment that they kind of let me, you know, let me, like, take the easy road out. Let me kind of say, like, you know what, it's just too much work. I'm not going to do it. You know, it was never an option. It was, I'm going to compete. I'm going to. And I think it's that feeling of the year before at, you know, Nationals, even though I petitioned for the world team, you know, I didn't know where I was going to be at that point. I didn't know where, you know, how trained I would be. You know, they kept saying, you know, you'll be ready. But, you know, it's that kind of feeling of I couldn't really prove to them that I would be, because I couldn't. So I think my feeling going into this year is I at least want to put myself out there and show this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
So I think that whole time it was like, I'm going to do the best that I can. And I think it's not letting kind of your ego kind of take control of, like, I know it won't look pretty. I know it won't, you know, be the way that I know I'm capable of doing it, but I'm going to kind of put myself on the line to just show this is where I'm at. And I know I'm struggling through it right now, but Worlds is kind of 8 weeks after Nationals. And so I hope, you know, I was hoping they could see that improvement.
Yeah. You did plenty enough to get yourself on the world team, even without the, you know, the like extra benefit of the doubt that you thought they might be giving you. But so, you know, you had three weeks going from Nationals to four continents. Was there ever a time when you thought, like, maybe I shouldn't be going to South Korea to do this?
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was not an easy decision for me. I think, you know, there were definitely different kind of sides to that and kind of making it. You know, I did, you know, we looked at a bunch of different options. It took me even about a week and a half after Nationals to really kind of commit that I was going to compete because, you know, it's a very fine line about kind of risk versus reward. What's the best route to go? You know, you're trying to kind of debate. Obviously, I didn't want to step back. And I think that was the main thing. So even when I was going to compete, the first kind of mutual agreement with the whole team was that the whole team, meaning my whole team, was there, no matter what, training for four continents won't set me back. It wasn't like I was going to push extra hard to be as prepared and ready for four continents as I could be. And then, have to leave there with a setback. Kind of the goal was, you know what, we had kind of Nationals was such an extreme.
Yeah.
You know, I was so hit or miss. I didn't know what was going to happen. The warm-ups were crazy that we kind of wanted, you know, Corey's thought was like, I'd really like you to have this one more kind of event where you can at least take, you know, not go from A and then at World B at Z. Like have some middle ground competition where you can get a little more confidence of knowing, okay, you know, I might not be as strong as I want to be, and I might not be prepared the same way, but it's a step forward. And kind of having the confidence that the leg is now, you know, strong enough to make it through a week of competition and can travel. So those kind of worries wouldn't affect me at World.
Right.
And I had, you know, I was very fortunate enough that I was at the Junior Grand Prix Final in Sochi the year before the Olympics. And it was an experience that I had no idea would come in handy mm-hmm. At the time, being a junior. But, you know, having that experience, I think, made me so much more relaxed and comfortable when competing at the Olympics because I was so familiar with the venue. So I think that was another kind of thing that went into play. You know, you had this opportunity to skate in the Olympic venue for 2018, and if I'm fortunate enough to get back to the Olympic Games next year, you know, it was kind of knowing that I've had the experience on that rink and kind of how much it helped me 4 years ago. And so, you know, so there were definitely a lot of kind of roles that came into play. My parents were very on the fence.
Yeah.
You know, to them, health is everything. Health trumps all, basically, when it comes to my family and for my parents and what they want. So it was definitely, you know, for them, they were like, "Are you sure? Like, we don't know." But, you know, I was getting the green light from everyone. I was getting the green light from the strength trainer. I was getting the green light from the physical therapist and the doctor that, you know, what we had done and the kind of the precautions that we did leading up to that point. They just said, you know, "We know you're not going to be as strong, but, you know, we don't see any reason why you shouldn't be able to compete or why this would be any kind of step back or detriment, like this experience would be detrimental to you." So yeah. I think that's really where it kind of let in.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Roller coaster indeed.
I tell you, I swear, after nationals and after Four Continents, I've never hibernated as much as I did. Like, the event ended and I literally shut down. My body didn't work. I think my mind was just, everything was such a, it's working nonstop. You know,
yeah.
Everything, you know, you don't have that confidence kind of to fall back on because of the training, because
yeah.
I didn't have that at that moment. So it was just constantly keeping myself in a positive mood, believing in myself after rough practice that I could do it. And I finished competing and I was out. I was like, I literally didn't leave the room for 2-3 days.
That's like me after 70 hours of live tweeting. So
yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to talk to you after the week of Worlds. I just can't imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have it a lot rougher than I do. I know that much. But let's switch gears and talk about your two programs this season.
Yeah.
Your short is to Sam Smith's Writing on the Wall, which somehow became a really popular choice this year.
Yes.
Why did you make the switch to that program after the previous short that you had debuted?
I loved the previous short I had. Absolutely loved it. You know, coming back from a back injury, that season I had a really fast, upbeat short and, you know, the same long that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, after that we kind of, you know, Corey and the doctor and kind of like they felt like it would be beneficial if I took a year where I wasn't constantly twisting and jolting my back in different kind of movements very fast. They're like, it's fine to do the slow kind of beautiful, but they didn't really want me to be kind of doing these sharp movements. They just wanted a year where, you know, especially with the Olympics coming up, they're like, there's no point of taking another year messing with it. Like, let it kind of really calm down, get it 100%, and then you can do whatever you want, you know, that Olympic year. And so when I went to Champs Camp, they felt that the short and the long were a little too similar,
uh-huh.
which we kind of knew going into it,
right.
But they felt kind of the long was more impactful than the short. And so they, you know, I was standing there with getting monitored, and Corey goes, "Well, do you want to see a show program?" Which was one of, I had two show programs, but one of them was Writings on the Wall. And they were like, okay. And so then I did it, and I skated back, and all three judges and Corey had this grin on their faces. And they're like, "So, like, how did you feel about competing this in 10 days? Because I was going to Lombardia, which was the first senior B, 10 days later.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, if this is what you guys want. And, you know, Corey really felt like, she liked that it was more different. And so I kind of was just like, okay, you know, and I brought up the fact, I was like, I think this is going to be really popular music. Like
yeah.
It just came out. And, you know, I tend not to skate to things that are so, I don't want to use the word overdone, but that are used a lot.
Yeah.
And so I tend not to do it, and I was like, I don't know. But, like, it was kind of that first year that people were using it.
Right.
It wasn't like everyone did it, and then I was doing it the next year.
We're not going to see you skating to Carmen anytime soon, right?
Not that I know. I do love the music, but no. So I think that's really how it came to be. And it was just like, okay. And it was kind of just like the exhibition program. It was actually 3 minutes and 30 seconds, so we had to change a lot and add elements and change elements. But it was definitely a fun change. It was my first time doing words. So mm-hmm. It's a program that, you know, I don't feel ever kind of gelled with me the way my other ones have, just because of the timing of it. But definitely having it over time and kind of my first experience with skating to words, I think it's been really, really exciting and fun and definitely an experience.
Yeah. You also had a mid-season switch in costumes, as one of our Ice Talk listeners asked about. So why the change of costume?
I love these questions.
I'm not asking you about the quad, so, you know.
No, I love this. It's just, they're all funny. Like, they're funny answers. Like, I'm already laughing in my head. So, I love simple. Like, love simple. It's one of my favorite kind of things. I love to wear simple. I love kind of the simple look. And I really love, you know, my long costume now has kind of had a progression, but it's ended up in this black, very simple.
Yeah.
And so when we were talking about the short program costume, first it turned out that I was wearing the black shirt that I wear for my long for the show program.
Mm.
So I couldn't, you know, when we switched it, I was like, we kind of had 10 days to figure out something to put together. And I was like, well, I already have an all black costume, so I couldn't really do an all black again for this short. And I was like, what about, and so Corey was said, like, what about white? And I was like, okay, let's just do, and Rohin kind of went off and was like, what about da 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 da? And I was like, plain white. I was like, if I'm competing this program in 10 days, I was like, I just have to get the choreography down and the changes. I was like, let's just get white. Like, let's just make it really simple where I don't have to think about the costume. And so that's kind of where the white shirt came to be. And I love it. And I just love, because I love simple, and I just like not worrying about the costume. So going out on the ice and just wearing something that I'm not thinking about, it's not too hot.
Yeah.
Rohin and Corey always laugh that I'm like a drama queen when it comes to costume. Like, I'm like, it's too hot, it's too itchy, it's too, like, just skate in the costume. And I'm like, I don't know, I like, you know, you work so hard, I don't want the costume to be any way, like, affecting the program.
Yeah.
I actually kind of had the new short program costume because it was never really kind of
you never had a costume, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of made, and I got it a day before the short program at Skate America. So it was, like, really close. And I was like, I am not skating for the first time in a new costume the morning of. I was like, and I basically was like, And I, like, kind of put my foot down, and which was fine. And so I wore it there. And then I was going to wear it at NHK, actually. This is, like, something I'm telling for the first time. So I was going to actually wear it at NHK. And this was kind of when the week was going on, and I couldn't really – this is like when I was saying, like, something was going on and I couldn't really figure out and my power wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was like, I am not wearing a new costume now. Like, I was like, I had it. It was with me in Japan. Like, I had it. It was in Skate America. It was in Japan. And I was like,
yeah.
And I was like, I can't. I was like, I can't do this now. Like, there was something going on. I just didn't want another factor. And so kind of after that, I was like, getting diagnosed with the injury, I was like, you know what? No matter what happens, like, I'm going to wear it at National. So it was actually a costume that I had since October for Skate America, but it didn't kind of make its appearance until National.
You never know what kind of answer you're going to get when it comes to figure skating costumes, do you?
No, never, never.
But your free skate is from the piano. It's definitely one of my favorites of the season, one of my favorites from you, all time.
Oh, my God.
There's just this seamlessness and lightness about the program that is, it reminds me of Daisuke Takahashi's Blues for Kluke program, except a very different version of it, obviously, uh-huh. because of the tempo of the music. But it just flows. It's like one big footwork sequence for 4 minutes that you have jumps, right? But so how did the concept come about?
For sure. You know, Rohin is what's so amazing about working with him, and I've gotten to work with him now since I was, it's almost like 13, 14 years that he's done my programs, which I feel so fortunate and lucky. And especially with Rohin, every year he tries to bring out something new, something different from my skating. And he looked at me at the beginning of 2015 when we were getting new programs, and he was like, we were deciding, and we're always playing around with different pieces and what he thinks and what he doesn't. And then one day he played this piece, which was from the piano. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't kind of paying attention. And he was like, what about this? And I was like, what? Like, it wasn't even kind of a piece of music that I even thought someone would skate to. You know, it's the piano the entire time.
Yeah.
There isn't a kind of a build. And most of my programs in the past had a build and had some type of crescendo that, like, you know, was able to rile the audience and get them on their feet. And it was, you know, and I never had kind of this such a still kind of program mm-hmm. of like with a piece of music. And Rohin kind of looked at me and was like, Jason, like, you know, every year you and the music are one. And like, you really try to bring out kind of, you try to hit all the nuances of the program and that go with the music. And he was like, he kind of visioned that he's like, this piece of music, I feel like you can make the music come to life. And he was like, I want you to be that instrument. Not that the music is driving you, but kind of, he was like, I'm determined to kind of choreograph a piece where kind of that feeling of like, you make the music or you make people want to like feel the music, because it isn't a piece that, you know, if you listen to it flat, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful, but it's not the most intricate or diverse of a 4.5 minute piece. You know, it's the piano the whole time. So he kind of put that expectation and that kind of that goal of me becoming the piano, me becoming the music, enhancing the music, and really making my skating the thing that stood out while watching the program.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of the music enhancing the skating. Having the 2 years to develop this piece, it's been incredible. You know, I definitely was not sold on the music when I first heard it, but I've grown to love it and appreciate it, and I think it's made me into such, it's just, I've matured and grown with the music and have learned about my skating, and kind of it's made me go to levels and pulled things out of me that I didn't think I was capable, because it was, it's something that you have to, you're kind of the driving force. It isn't the music at this point. And it's been an incredible lesson to learn with this piece and to have 2 years to really develop it.
Yeah, I mean, it totally increases your range as an artist as well. So it's done wonders for you, and it's a great program to watch. One of our Ice Talk listeners also wanted to know what piece of music you haven't skated to yet that you are dying to skate to. And don't tell me it's Carmen.
No, it's not. What if it was? What if I was like, you know what?
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Oh my gosh. No. It's kind of funny. I don't know. You know, I've always been really interested to skating to some type of tango, like a tango or a samba, just because it's a genre that I really haven't explored yet. Another genre I've never gone into is any type of musical theater. So I've done operas. So I guess that is musical theater, but not, you know,
not
the Les Mis, the, you know, the Hairspray or Chicago, you know, I've never really done any of kind of those. So I think it's kind of, I'm interested to explore something new.
Yeah.
It was so exciting skating to Riverdance, you know, it was another kind of genre I never, you know, went to and thought I could pull off, you know, and to do that, I think it kind of also opened my eyes to so many different pieces of music that I'd be excited to perform. And especially after doing this long, to kind of feel like you can take it beyond the music and kind of feeling that, I think it also broadens that. But I'm really into, I think when it comes to pieces that I've been really interested to skate in, I think it would be some type of Latin samba, just because I haven't really explored that, along with, you know, some of the musical theater stuff is incredible.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to get at least one upbeat program from you next season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope that people don't, like, you know, because I feel like I am known for having two different kind of sides to what I do. There is always that upbeat fun or fast music, and then I just want to say something completely different.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, this year was definitely a little bit difficult for me to come to terms with the fact that they were kind of both slower or more lyrical. But at the same time, that's definitely why I have a faster show program. But yes, definitely, absolutely, there will be a fast program where people will be clapping along. And yes, I miss that.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first on Ice Talk. Wow.
Yes, you guys, yes. Prepare yourselves.
Well,
there will be an upbeat program.
There you go. Worlds is about to start, and Roheen has been posting lots of pictures on Instagram with all the posters from the skaters at your rink cheering you on. Must be great to have that support as you're head over to Finland, right?
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. I'm so, so fortunate to have such a close skating family and to train with such supportive skaters. It's amazing. Honestly, they've been there for me through all my ups and downs and through these injuries, and they've stood by me and cheered me on, and it's incredible. And I walked into this rink, into the rink, like you said, and this morning, and it was the whole rink was on every single window was another poster from a skater. And I, like, broke down in tears. And it was honestly, I don't know, family and support just means so much to me. So having that at the rink and feeling that, it was amazing. It brings it to a kind of a new level of encouragement and why we do what we do.
Yeah, it gives you another kick in your step, right?
Exactly.
You've had another few weeks since Four Continents to train and recover from the injury. And how has training been going? And do you feel like you are where you want to be right now?
I do. Training since Four Continents, having the 5 weeks was really, really crucial for me and my confidence and kind of moving forward. You know, kind of like what I said earlier is we didn't want to leave. The whole point of doing Four Continents was that it would be some type of step forward rather than step back. So I was able to leave Four Continents feeling like my leg was still healing and feeling better. And then I kind of took a week to recover. Obviously, I was skating in the week, but kind of taking it light. And I basically took the next 2 weeks, because I had four then leading up, and I basically called them hell weeks, where I just pushed myself to the max. I needed to kind of really trust. I had full clearance from the doctor that it was, you know, it was healing and it was where it should be, and I wouldn't hurt it worse. And I kind of went full force, and I pushed myself as hard as I could on the ice, off the ice. I kind of needed for my own confidence to feel durable again, to feel that I could, you know, I think one of the scariest things is going into a competition and not knowing if you're going to make it through the week. I needed that reassurance that I could, you know, because leading up to the competition, it was like the Nationals and Four Continents, it was, you know, if I was too tired, it wasn't worth doing the jumps tired, because if I, you know, if the technique was suffered, then the jump, you know, they didn't want me to injure myself worse or do wrong technique if I was too tired. So we never did. It was kind of like I always went to the limit, and then we never crossed that line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed, for my own confidence, I needed 2 weeks where I could push myself to the max, where I could push past the line, build that confidence, knowing that I could push through when I'm exhausted. I can push, you know, my leg is there for me, you know, even if I didn't feel, you know, 100%. And so I basically really took those 2 weeks, and it was like the word we used at the beginning, it was a roller coaster. It was crazy. We really, really went full out, but I was able to then walk away knowing, being able to now go into Worlds having no regrets. You know, I think the most difficult thing was, you know, you want to prepare and feel ready. And the last thing I wanted to do was go into Worlds being like, well, I'm prepared with, you know, I've, you know, done the training and done kind of the steady process, but it's not what I'm used to. You know, I'm really used to gutting it out and then kind of what we kind of said, riding the wave. Kind of, you know, you've done the work, you've put in the work, and typically I'm able to do that in the summer. I'm in kind of the fall kind of leading up to the competition season, but this just had to be 2 weeks before, kind of the 2 weeks of taper before Worlds.
Yeah.
If that makes sense?
Yeah, totally. And I think it seems like you're in a great place right now heading into Helsinki. What are your goals going in?
Yeah, I mean, as a whole, I want to go out there and compete the way I've been training. I feel really ready. I feel confident. I'm very excited. Always the goal is to go out there and do the two programs cleanly and the way you know how to skate them and kind of do what you have planned to the best of your ability. Obviously, you know, I definitely have goals that take place in the kiss and cry, but you know, I think it's, you know, it's tough. You don't really have control over that. So as far as it goes for what I can do on the ice, it's doing what I can do to the best of my ability, because I do feel like I'm in a position where I'm ready, where I am confident, where I know that I'm capable of doing it, that I, you know, I haven't been at the past three events. They've, you know, been at a different kind of level of preparedness, injury, you know, it's, you know, I am healthy. I'm healthy, and the kind of all the training and the precautions that we've been taking since the injury and the progression moving forward has really paid off. And even though, you know, I wasn't able to kind of push full out for four continents or for nationals, I feel like it has led me to feeling as prepared as I do feel for the world championship to do what, you know, I'm planning to do. But at the same time, obviously the goals that you can't control that I know people are talking about is obviously I want to do whatever it takes to match, you know, for me and Nathan to match each other's placements to get another extra spot for next year at the Olympic Games. It's obviously a huge goal of mine, but unfortunately it's not one that you kind of have total control over, as well as obviously you always want to get a season's best. Right. You always want to kind of end the year at the World Championships with a season's best. But yet again, it's kind of out of my control. So you try to just hope that in the kiss and cry, it all works out for you.
Figure skating, it's always out of your control, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, Jason, it's going to be great to see you back on the ice, and this time much healthier than the last few times we saw you. And
Thank you.
Incredibly fun to have you on Ice Talk. Good luck at Worlds.
Thank you so much. It's been the best talking to you, and I can't wait to spend a whole week with you next week.
Yay!
Woo!
So that's all, folks, for our four-part Worlds preview here on Ice Talk. I really hope you've enjoyed this incredible lineup of skaters and skating pundits that we've brought you in anticipation of the World Championships. Don't forget, I will be live on Facebook for Ice Network all this week to bring you analysis and Q&A from Helsinki. And of course, catch all of the action from the 2017 World Figure Skating Championships live on icenetwork.com. Thank you so much to Lynn Rutherford and Jason Brown for being on the podcast today. And also a big thanks to Kira Corpy, Maddie Hubble and Zach Donahue, John Coughlin, Megan Duhamel and Eric Radford, Tara Lipinski, and Ashley Wagner for joining us for the other three parts of the World's Preview. If you missed any of those, you can always find them and all other episodes of Ice Talk archived on iTunes or on icenetwork.com on the fans page. Ice Talk is produced by Kate Sullivan and edited by Mickey Brown. From the Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan, this is Jackie Wong, and I will see you all live from Helsinki, and enjoy the World Championships.